Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Greg Gabriel works here at 670 The Score and for Pro Football Weekly. And the former Bears scouting director had some optimistic thoughts about the talent level of this Bears roster. Greg's in studio with us on Bernstein and McKnight. What's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
You're doing well, and I think a Bears fan's eyebrows will raise and say, what does Greg Gabriel see that he likes?
Well, obviously, there's holes, and there's holes on every team in the National Football League. But I think when you look at the overall makeup of the roster, I think it's in pretty good shape. Could they use another edge rusher? Yeah. Could he already be here? Yeah. We're not going to find some of that stuff out because, you know, during the offseason program, OTAs, mini camp, there's no contact. So as far as offensive and defensive linemen, you're not finding a lot about those guys other than are they doing their assignments correctly. You know, you can get a lot from the receivers, defensive backs, linebackers, as far as, you know, 7-on-7, that type of thing. But just, you know, going to mini camp last week and seeing, you know, an OT, I like the makeup of the roster. I like the way the guys were practicing.
What did you like about it?
The enthusiasm. The way, even though you're unsure about yourselves because you're going through a new offense, I think if you want to use a comparison, you can say the Rams last year. Now, the Rams went out and won the division. I'm not going to say the Bears are going to win this division. The NFC West was not a strong division. It was almost like a perfect situation for the Rams last year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they improved when they brought in Sean McVay. You got a similar situation. Matt Nagy is here this year. You've got a second-year quarterback. You're hoping that he makes a jump. And you've brought in some receivers. That was the weak point of the roster last year with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and the tight end. So I think that, you know, it looks good on paper. I like the way they practiced. I like what I saw in practice. Whether they got to stay healthy, that's a big key. They haven't been healthy for 3 years in a row. They've just about led the league in injuries. I think if you know, the tea leaves fall the way they should, then it's going to be a much improved football team. Are they going to compete for a playoff spot? I don't know that yet. I think it's way too early to tell.
How much are you able to divine, I guess, from the OTAs and Mitchell Trubisky's work? Like, how much can he play into, or does he play into, your idea that this is one of the most talented rosters they've had in a few years?
Well, I think without a doubt it's the most talented roster they have, but is that saying a lot?
Right.
You know, as compared to what? You know, this team has been down as far as talent, you know, going back. I mean, when we were here with Jerry Angelo and myself, we're here, I think we had a talented roster, and I'm not taking anything away. But, you know, it went downhill for a while. When Phil came in and you lost some good players, you weren't replacing them. We drafted 12 all-pro players in that time we were here, in the 10-year period we were here, and that makes for a good roster. It that hasn't been the case in the 8 years since we left, or 7 years since we left.
Is this offense one that is going to ask the offensive line to be as important as another offense might? And I know Andy Reid's going to be on at 2:00. Maybe it's a good question for him sort of philosophically, but you know, we always think about the Mike Martz, the 7-step drops and what he can do, what the edges of that offensive line have to do to keep the quarterback safe with the RPOs, with 3-step drops, with half field reads. Does that help you avoid having to have a leak-proof line?
Well, the ability for the quarterback to get the ball out of his hand more quickly helps the offensive line, and the offensive line, you know, not having to block for 3 seconds for maybe a second and a half, or that makes everybody better. So it's just the way the scheme is devised to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand quickly, that's going to help the line. And then you bring in Harry Hiestan, who I worked with Harry for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years here. I know what kind of coach he is. Even when he left, he showed what he could do down at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. He had a bunch of first-round picks, and he developed those guys. He's going to make these guys that much better. I think if you talk to people like Olin Krutz, you know, the makeup, the player makeup isn't that bad. It's you know, is it the best line in the league? No, but the talent level's a little better than people have given it credit for, and I think part of that was the design. It was poorly designed offense the last few years.
You mentioned the defensive line and how you could probably use another pass rusher on this roster, on paper, as it stands now. A lot of people have pointed to perhaps Roy Robertson-Harris or perhaps Aaron Lynch could step up and make some sort of moves in that
Isaiah
pass.
Irving,
sure, guys yeah. who can move and maybe rush the passer. If Vic Fangio doesn't get kind of a breakout season, for lack of a better term, from some of these guys, what's he going to have to do, in your estimation, Greg, to get a pass rush that can be dangerous?
Well, then you've got a scheme, do different types of blitz packages or whatever to create some pressure. But I think when you look at the defensive line, it's going to be, I think, a little bit more athletic. Mitch Unrein's gone. So you're going to have Roy Robertson Harris and who's the other guy?
The Lynch guy?
No. Lynch is playing outside linebacker.
Outside linebacker. So, he may run at the quarterback.
Right. Now, when you get into you're playing 65% of the time you're playing in your sub packages, he may not have his hand in the dirt, but he's going to be a pass rusher. Now, and he's an interesting guy because, he started his college career at Notre Dame. As a freshman, I think he had 5.5 sacks. He's like 17 and 18 years old. He was a young freshman. And he looked like, he had the potential to be a first-round pick 3-4 years down the road. Well, he had some off-field issues. His head wasn't screwed on right. He leaves Notre Dame after 1 year. He transfers to South Florida. That's where he's from. Has to sit out a year. Then he plays there 1 year. Didn't have a great year. And then enters the draft. I think he went in the 5th or 6th round. Under Fangio, he played good football that first year in the league. I think he had 6 sacks or something, 6.5 sacks. As a rookie coming off the bench, he is a very talented guy. I think, all the stars got to align for us to say that, he is going to be a guy that can be a difference maker on this defense. I can't say that right now. No, nobody can say that. Nobody at Hallis Hall can say that. But he has got the talent to be a pretty good player.
Who else flashed at OTAs? I think a good scout goes there and forgets it, doesn't even want to see the names and just judge the action and then figure out which guy just did what you saw him do. Is there anybody who you said, oh, okay, I might change my mind about this guy, maybe have a new thought about this guy, whether a rookie or a veteran?
Well, the one guy is we were talking about off the air was Kevin White. And only because, as we saw the first 3 years here, obviously injuries played into it. Here's a guy who was, 6'2 or 6'3, 215 pounds and runs a 4.35, but he looked like a 4.6 guy or a 4.65 guy on the field. Wasn't sure of himself. I think part of that had to do with the offense he played in at West Virginia. Very small route tree, and then he comes into a more complex system. You have to make sight adjustments and things, and when you're not sure of yourself, you don't play fast. I think a lot of that, the injuries and the unsurety played into that. He just seemed to be playing like last week with more confidence in himself. And you saw the 4.35 speed. You saw the athleticism. Now, whether that's going to translate to on the play good or on the field good play come training camp in another 5 weeks, another 6 weeks, that remains to be seen. But I think you could say going into camp, the arrow's going up, but who knows if it's going to continue going up.
That's still terrific news. I mean, if you get one Bears fan thinking that Kevin White is something contributing to success, that's something other than just this horrible feeling of a complete zero. We've changed the bar for what his expectations are. If he can help a little bit and be in a rotation of receivers, that's all good.
Yeah, I mean, anything now is a bonus after the first 3 years. So you're hoping for something. Even if he's not a starter, if he's your fourth receiver but still gets 20, 25 catches and can make a couple big plays because of his rare athleticism, that makes the team that much better. A guy that kind of jumped out, and can't tell much from offensive linemen in mini camps and OTAs, but and I wanted to watch him going in because he was a defensive lineman as a free agent rookie last year, was Rashad Coward, who played at Virginia Union or Old Dominion, one of those schools in Virginia. But he's a big guy, 6'6". He's 320. He's got long arms. He was pretty athletic. Well, they moved him over to the offensive side. And he was playing right tackle. And you look
big
at
Big Cat Williams, right?
Yes. Well, that's he's a better athlete than Big Cat, though. And so you watch him move around, and you go, Perry might have something here. Now it's a big block of clay, and he's got to mold that. And it might not be ready this year, but when you get a player like that, you're not looking this year. You're looking down the road. And is this somebody that can become a player if everything comes together correctly?
Going, stand on the offensive side of the ball then, are there ways within Matt Nagy's offense, the way we kind of conceive of it, that Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen are on the field together? Or is Taylor Gabriel, as a slot-type receiver, although he says he can do more than that, does he kind of negate Cohen on the field with Howard, if that makes any sense?
I think a good offensive coach finds a way to get playmakers on the field at the same time.
Sure.
So I don't and then you go back to Atlanta. And Taylor Gabriel played outside a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't strictly an inside guy. He probably played outside more than he played inside. And so you have that versatility there. And then the way that Tariq Cohen can catch the ball, and then you look at the different formations that Matt Nagy is going to use. And, yeah, you can see a situation where Cohen is used as a slot receiver and – Howard's in the backfield, and then, kind of like, the little guy at Kansas City last year, how they used him, because Cohen, not quite as tall, but the same type of player.
Tyreek Hill?
Yes. Yeah. Same type of explosive player.
Now, you mentioned the different formations, that as it was explained to me, that when it's really working at its best, you're lined up the same way every time, not giving a cue to the defense. So when this thing's really humming, they can run multiple variable pattern groupings and looks out of the very same formation, so you don't give an indication to the defense pre-snap. But that takes time to build there, that they're not quite there yet. And they maybe don't know their personnel in quite the same way yet, and they don't have Travis Kelce, so who is the guy off of which a lot of that was built. So how long does that take?
Well, you go back to, and Alex Smith said it took him a few years to really feel comfortable within this scheme. So you're going to do what you can at this time. You don't want to put this team on overload and then they end up playing slow. You got to build it. It's not going to be 100% of this offense I cannot see being installed in this first year.
I always make the joke in basketball, because anytime you get a new basketball coach who comes in, he's got this big playbook and he wants to run all this stuff. And by the third game, they're down to three plays. Maybe they get two inbounds plays that they can run, and then they've got a base system. But he only knows. But everybody gets all excited as you're putting it all in. But does it take actual game action to know where to pair back? Do they know in practice, or is that the purpose of exhibition games to learn some of these things?
Well, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot. You're going to see it more in practice than you are in the exhibition games. I think that's what's going to give the Bears an advantage in the first couple games of the season. Green Bay is going to go back and look at Kansas City and Philly tape, because that's pretty much the same offense, and try to figure out what the Bears are going to do based on what those teams did. You're going to see pure vanilla during the preseason. Why show anything more than that? That's the competitive advantage that you have in those first couple games, is there's not going to be very much on tape.
And they've got the five exhibition games too, right? They added the extra one because
right.
of the Hall of Fame game. So
that's right.
That's a you better like vanilla. Anyway, Greg, thank you. We're glad you could
Thanks
stop
for having
in.
Me.
Appreciate you joining us. Greg Gabriel of Score and Pro Football Weekly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.